joke. Bitch started the whole world crying, but I didn't see that the joke was on me. Oh no, I started to cry, which started the whole world laughing. Oh, if I'd only seen.
It is no joke. We are the real thing on morelikeradio.com. As always, I am joined by Chris Whetton. Chris Whetton, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. How about you?
I'm good. It is August 12th? August 12th. 13th. 14th.
Yeah.
I am 2 days behind. But it is August 14th, 2016. As always, you can find us on Twitter, The Real Thing MLR, and let's get started. Since we have not been back to do a show, would you like to know what the number one movie in America has been, currently?
What was the number one movie?
The number one movie this weekend.
In the Americas.
In the Americas was Suicide Squad, as it was last weekend. Because last weekend, it made $135
million.
$135 million, along with the numbers that it made today, or this weekend, $43 million.
The buzz on this movie, and I think we talked about it on our last episode. Last time we talked, the movie had sort of reviews had just started trickling out, and the buzz was not good. Or like the week before, like the previews all look good. Like even you and I think we're both like, hey, this could be a good DC movie. This could be a good superhero movie.
Did we say that?
I kind of felt that way. I don't know if we said that or not, but that was sort of my feeling. I was like, okay,
it's got, like it's got a chance.
It's got a chance, exactly. Okay. I wasn't like, this is gonna fucking all. Like no, but. It's got Will Smith. It's got Margot Robbie, or whatever her name is. You know, it's sort of the villain's tale. It's not Superman, you know? I mean, it sort of looked like it was playful and funny and that kind of thing. So we thought, or anyway, I thought, this could be decent. This could be fun.
Now, I wanted it to be different only because I know how... I mean, we have to talk about Batman versus Superman every 3 weeks.
Oh my God.
So then when you see that, and then you see something that could very possibly be better... And looks like it's not taking itself too seriously.
The antithesis of that.
Yeah, so you'll, you know, well, here's hoping, and, you know, cross your fingers, and...
It's not a bunch of muscle guys in tights, like, staring at each other like they're having a hemorrhoid outbreak.
Correct, yeah. Correct. And so, again, it doesn't matter what we think. It really doesn't, because it's made a fuck ton of money. It's made $222 million thus far.
Yeah, I think it matters.
But that being said, it's like...
It's made a fuck ton of money.
But this will be our review of Suicide Squad. And I am looking in real time right now, ladies and gentlemen, and I see just copious notes strewn all over notebook paper. We take our jobs very seriously,
yeah.
That we do not get paid for, so obviously it's follies on us. But I saw this with four other people, and they loved it. And I did not. I felt like I was at the DMV
they
for 2 hours.
It. They didn't hate it. They loved it.
They're like, wow, this is better than I expected.
Better than I expected.
Yeah, that was really good. Mark, what do you... And they're all smiles, and they're looking at me, and I just... No. No, it wasn't good. I'll tell you what was good.
It was a mess.
About the movie experience, and that is what you've talked about before. Full service liquor bar.
True that.
With servers that come down, take your order before the movie starts.
Get on board, movie theaters.
Get your check after the trailers are running halfway through, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Here's the thing. Ticket sales are down, which doesn't sound like they are. It's a fucking piece of shit. It's made $220 million in 10 days or whatever it is. But in general, like, theaters are not happy because people are going to the movies less frequently or whatever. They're not buying concessions. You know, they're sneaking, you know, their Coke Zero into the theater in their cargo shorts. Sell beer. Sell beer. Have waitresses. That's really full service what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But at least have a place where I can get a beer or I can get a drink or I can get, you know, something other than popcorn and like nachos with the cheese that comes in. That's not even cheese that you dip out with a ladle. It's like
correct.
The cheese in the package. So I have to rip the top off of it. Like, oh, God.
Yeah, it's called cheese? Because it may or may not actually be dairy product. But
there's a Z in there.
So I watched this movie, and I am...
Speaking of cheesy.
And I'm going in with low expectations, but, like, just surprise me. I want to see a good movie. I want to see a good movie that hasn't disappointed me thus far, because as far as I've seen this summer... Every single thing that we were looking forward to.
So you were you had low expectations.
I had low expectations.
You were just, maybe you're like me, I went into this movie with relatively low expectations, only because superhero movies I generally do not like. However, my only expectation was to have fun. Look like a fun movie.
Sure.
That was probably, if I got one expectation, it was looking to have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I'm watching this movie, I'm trying to forget the fact that I've heard about this movie. And how it's been made, and what certain people do on set, you know, to the point where...
Who could we be talking about?
Exactly. Well, Oscar award winning, who we could be talking about.
We gotta look up who else was nominated that year, because it was a light fucking year, by the way. We'll get into that.
But I'm having...
Fassbender got robbed.
I'm trying to watch the movie, and it's just... There was a lot of money that was put in this. I've read that it cost $175 million to make.
Jesus Christ.
You need to make $750 million just to break even somehow, some way.
The studios are inflating that shit. They're like, it costs $150 million. We need to make $700 million.
But
I get $100 million, Bob gets $100 million, and Johnson gets $100 million.
But it costs so much, and I'm going back and I'm watching Raiders of the Lost Ark. And again, remember, it was made by Spielberg back in 1981 with $13 million or something.
No CGI.
Crazy amount. No CGI. When I look at this, I'm like, where the fuck are you spending all that money?
It's literally Harrison Ford and a whip. You know, like...
It's crappy, like, Nintendo 64 graphics for...
Seriously.
Some of the... Like, some of the set pieces. I guess you could call them set pieces. Number two, Joker and Batman, if you had cut all their parts out, doesn't matter.
No.
Doesn't matter at all.
Doesn't matter at all.
And then finally... I think that as far as how the movie was made, the studio got into a panic after they got all these negative reviews of Batman vs. Superman. They film a different version. They have both versions that they show to Plano, Texas fans.
Sure.
And they just mash them together, and it just... I don't know. Like, it doesn't... It felt very generic.
It definitely felt toyed with, I will say that. Like, it's got lots of scenes that sort of feel like... First of all, it, like, reverts back to itself. It has, like, flashbacks of things that just happened 45 minutes ago. That happens, like, more than once, right? Am I losing my mind here? Or did that not happen?
No, that did.
Or they'll show, like, sort of part of a scene and then cut away, and then 35 minutes later show the rest of that scene. That happened a couple times, too, or at least once that I can think of. And it's not like Pulp Fiction. It's not like they're leading you to another story that's sort of tangentially related. It doesn't make any sense at all. The whole thing stunk like it had been toyed with.
Right.
And I'm not blaming Air or the studio, probably both, or you know, or neither. And maybe there was a third party that was toying with it, but it felt toyed with.
Okay.
The plot, first of all, like, I know you can't... we're talking about having fun.
Yeah.
But right off the bat, first of all, the first hour of the movie is basically introductions of characters. Like, it really is almost an hour. It's like 40, 45 minutes of just sort of introductions. You're introducing the Will Smith character and introducing the Harley Quinn character. Spent a lot of time with Viola Davis and introducing sort of the plot of the movie. Like, that's what Viola Davis's job. She is Amanda Waller. She's like the CIA-esque guru that is putting this squad of misfits together. You know what I mean?
Do you think that her expression throughout the movie where it just, please get me the fuck out of this movie, or she's just sick and tired of working with these supervillains? I vote the former. Because I heard about all the stories that Jared Leto sent her dead rats or pig shit or empty shell casings or some bullshit. And it's just like, please get me out.
You get the sense that Leto was the only one that did not know what kind of movie they were making. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Leto was the only one who thought that this thing was going to be, you know, like the next...
Transcendent.
Chris Nolan Batman movie. And in his defense, David Ayer has made some really good movies. I actually thought Viola Davis was one of the few actresses or actors in the movie that worked. Like, I actually thought hers was one of the few characters that I sort of wanted to know more about. And maybe that's because the way they build the storyline, she is essentially the villain. these right. guys are the heroes and she is the villain.
Right.
You know?
In regards to introductions, by the way, did you notice that there was one character that they didn't really flesh out as far as his backstory was concerned?
There was more than one character. That's one of my problems with the movie. There's some characters like Deadshot and Harley Quinn we spend a ridiculous amount of time with. There's other characters that they literally halfway through the movie, like sort of somebody from off screen, like kicks them in there like it's a vaudeville stage and they're like, get out there, Slipknot, you got work to do. They introduce these characters like Katana and Slipknot, and it's literally like they toss them onto the screen and they're like, yeah, this guy can climb anything. Like, what? Did he just say, yeah, climb anything? Yeah, that's his quote unquote power. You know, like, yeah, there are some characters that it's like, wait, what?
Why? Captain Boomerang.
Captain Boomerang? Why is he here? Hey, he throws boomerangs. Okay. You realize we've got one chick that can, like, teleport across the universe and steal some, like, war book out of an Iranian vault or whatever, right? Also, why do we need Captain Boomerang?
Especially when his boomerang doesn't return back to him after he throws it.
It doesn't return back to him.
No, so what good is a fucking boomerang?
We got no explanation for that character.
He drinks.
He drinks, and he's sort of funny, I guess, in another movie, but not this one.
Right.
Katana, we don't really get much of an explanation. Slipknot, it was literally only there so that we can understand that Amanda Waller means business. Because, spoiler alert, Slipknot gets, you know, killed after, you know, 2 seconds on screen. Harley Quinn, spent a lot of time introducing her, a lot of backstory, a lot of flashbacks. But I gotta say, back to the plot. I don't know, it's like she's brought up, they say, like she's brought this half-brain scheme up before. And it's like, she introduces the scheme again, nothing has changed since the last time they shot it down.
Okay.
How is this plot gonna work? Why did she convince anybody of this? I guess because the Enchantress was able to steal this book or whatever, like, we've been trying to get this book for 20 years.
Yeah, I don't...
Nothing about the plan makes sense. It's like, okay... First of all, okay, fine. You need Enchantress. Like, I get it. You want, like, somebody on the CIA who can teleport across the universe and steal shit out of vaults. Okay.
Right.
What do you need the crazy chick with the pigtails who hits guys with a bat for? Like, what
do you... Because she's hot and... little shorts? Little shorty shorts, Chris.
You know the other chick can teleport across the universe, right?
Yeah,
into vaults and shit like that. Like,
yeah, well...
This chick literally just hits people with bats.
Well, then why... Well, then why assemble a bunch of fucking supervillains that have all these powers, like throwing boomerangs that don't return
powers.
Back? Or a baseball Batman... Or Killer Croc that does, like...
Killer Croc's,
he
like,
swims.
He swims, Michael, and he's
Michael
got a
Phelps,
complexion.
Michael Phelps swims better than he does. Sorry. Yeah. Also, the whole team gets assembled, and they're escorted by an army to go fight the fire in the sky that just somehow... They're the only ones that can do it. They're the only ones that can save it, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Speaking of spirit in the sky, that's what I was meaning to say. All the music... Could we not pay licensing for every single song that you want to hear ever? Because it felt like every 30 seconds, like, hey, they're gonna get an army together. Seven Nation Army by White Stripes. Hey, she's swinging her baseball bat. Hey, get that K7 song from the early 90s that no one's ever heard of until right now.
Yeah, it was two kinds of music cues. There was music cues that were so on the nose, like Seven Nation Army, or Super Freak, or You Don't Own Me, or I Started a Joke that started the whole world laughing, or whatever. It's like these, it's like, okay, I get his name's the Joker, and you need a music cue. You don't need to literally go to Google and type in music joke, and then get the rights for that song.
Get the first 10.
Yeah. Will Smith is, you know, in a Louisiana prison, so what song do they sing? What's the House of the Rising Sun? Of course. Which, by the way, that's another thing they did. They used a lot of songs that have been used better in previous movies.
Yeah, singing to myself, Casino.
Casino.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've casined this before.
Thank you, David Spade.
Thank you. Casined it, but I liked it better the first time when it was going to be. Bohemian Rhapsody, another one.
Yeah.
How the fuck can any filmmaker... use Bohemian Rhapsody with a straight face.
I like the part where Will Smith is firing off and showing everyone that he's in fact Deadshot, and Black Skinhead by Kanye West is playing, so...
I know. And he does have a shaved head, too. I'm sure Will Smith was like, hey, motherfucker, what?
But, I mean, he's already made his... You know, okay, look, he's good, too. He was all right.
Yeah, no, I agree. Will Smith was one of the other guys that I sort of felt like, God, I wish Will Smith was in a better movie here, because Will Smith has not been making a lot of... fantastic movies lately.
Right.
And this was, you know, this could have been cool for him, you know?
Yeah.
God, when's that Will Smith gonna get a break? You know? No, but I did. I thought he was fine in it. And I thought Margot Robbie, I think it's Robbie, right?
I thought it was Robbie.
Oh, whatever.
She's hot.
Chick,
whatever.
The chick in the panties was really good.
The, the chick from Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, who's also in her panties.
Right.
Listen, Margot. Number one, the panties. She's like, her agent's like, hey, look, she needs panties in a Brooklyn accent. That's she doesn't work unless she gets panties in a Brooklyn accent, okay? You make that happen, and she's in your movie.
Oh, she's in your movie.
Makers of Tarzan are like, hey, look, I don't know how we're going to do this, but we can do it. Now, those three, Viola Davis, Will Smith, and Margot Robbie, whatever her name is, all three wish it was a better movie for them, because it's not a coincidence those are the three best actors in the movie.
What is your opinion about Jared Leto, as far as...
As a human being?
No. Just for the movie. Just for this movie.
I've never been a huge fan of Jared Leto. Never thought much of him at all, actually. Like, he's fine. He's fine in American Psycho as Paul Allen. Or, you know, like, in these sort of minor characters with not a lot of meat on the bones. Like, just supporting character or whatever. Fight Club.
Yeah.
You know, like, Born to Destroy, Beautiful Face. Like, I've never agreed with Ed Norton more. I thought that him in the... McConaughey AIDS movie. That was the working title. I thought that he was... no, I mean, he was fine. That's the kind of part, it's like, it's Oscar bait. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like, you can play someone who's disabled, or you can play, like, sort of a, like, a minority that is, you know, enslaved or whatever, or you can play someone who's got a disease, or you can play someone who's dying, and he kind of did all those things. He's like, all right, I'm going to be a minority with a disease that's dying, and he's dressed like a woman. And Oscar's like, oh, give him a fucking Oscar right now.
Yeah.
I thought it was a weak year, and he won an Oscar for costuming. And
you asked.
Yeah.
He won against Barkhad Abdi from Captain Phillips, Bradley Cooper from American Hustle, Michael Fassbender for 12 Years a Slave, Jonah Hill from Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, weak year. Weak year. Having said that, Fassbender was amazing in 12 Years a Slave. Did you ever see 12 Years a Slave?
Yes, I did.
Fassbender was freaking amazing.
Yeah, he's fucking evil.
Fassbender's one of the greatest actors we have on the planet. Like, he's essentially Gary Oldman these days. And, like, he lost to Jared Leto for putting a do-rag on his head and, you know, like, rubbing his fingers along McConaughey's chest or whatever he did, you know, like...
Well, but in all fairness to Fassbender, I mean, he is dating Alicia Vikander now, so I mean, he's not totally off. Yes, he totally is. Mm. Apparently, they're making a movie and they're method acting or something. I don't know.
God, she looked like she was methadone acting. Bourne Identity, the Bourne Identity, whatever it was called, Jason Bourne.
To me, okay, I'm going back. You
we're
know,
talking Leto Joker.
We're talking Leto Joker, and I love Batman. I love the Joker. Mm. I don't love it. Like, people probably have a really skewed opinion about my opinion about the Joker, because I don't like stuff like that much. Like, hey, you need to get this and that. Like, I don't have to own every single piece of Batman Joker memorabilia.
Right.
So, but I also appreciate, you know, like, little nuances and everything. You know, like Nicholson or Mark Hamill or, you know, Heath Ledger or Cesar Romero. You know, whatever you want to do. And they always had, like, their little
bring
ticks.
Something new to it.
Yeah, so I could kind of sort of appreciate at least Jared Leto was trying.
Was he?
I'm saying he was trying, but the landing of it all, like, where he didn't do anything crazy. He was just annoyed. He was annoyed, number one. He cares more about how his look looks as opposed to, like, Joker's just nuts. Like, he will kill you to prove a point and then make a joke afterwards or during while you're dying. Meanwhile, I don't know, he's trying to pimp out Harley Quinn to some gangster guy, and then he just shoots him. Like, no joke, no, you know, zazz or something. You know what I mean?
Right. I thought his performance was all hype and talk, and there was no performance on the screen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's giving interviews. We all sort of famously remember Heath Ledger talking about, or, you know, before he died, before he took that final nap, you know, this role really took something out of him, and he had trouble sleeping when he made it, but it wasn't constant interviews, and maybe that's because he died. Maybe we would have seen more interviews like that, but I doubt it. I doubt we would have heard Heath Ledger talking about that performance as much as we've heard Jared Leto talking about his performance.
Right.
It's like he's like, oh, it's like I birthed this performance out of my prick hole. Like, he really said something like that. Like, that's a quote from him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, we get it, man. You're edgy and you're playing the Joker and you're giving people rats and used condoms and anal beads and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know? Like, we get it. But his performance was all, like, I think he got the green hair, and he got the white skin and the tattoos and the grill, and he was like, that's it, I'm good, I'm the Joker now. Like, that's, you know, like, and he's just like, there was nothing on screen. There was nothing.
Right.
His costume, have you ever seen Wild at Heart?
Yes. With Nick Cage and
Laura Dern. Yep. And Willem Dafoe as Bobby Peru. Okay. His costume was essentially the same costume as Bobby Peru. Okay. Like, slicked back hair, albeit Jared Leto's was green and his skin was white, but Bobby Peru had slicked back hair, tattoos, fucked up teeth, and, like, you know, snakeskin leather jacket or something like that.
Yeah.
But Willem Dafoe then brings something else to it, you know? He brings something else. The reading of the lines is unique, you know? It's scary. It's fucking terrifying, that God laugh and stuff, you know what I mean?
God damn it, why can't we have Willem Dafoe? Why can't he be the Joker?
You have gotten a really good actor. That's the problem. It's nothing against Jared Leto. He doesn't have the skills to play the Joker. He's not a very good actor. Like, we all saw him win the Oscar and we're like, oh, I guess Jared Leto's a great actor. No. The Academy decided to give him an Oscar. That doesn't mean he's a good actor. This is the classic example of why the Academy Awards are such bullshit. He won one. He didn't deserve it for that movie or any other movie he's ever made. He's never done anything particularly fantastic. And they gave him one of the most iconic roles of all time, which he was unprepared to play. It would be like asking me to have sex with Gianna Michaels or someone like that. Like, I don't have the skills for that. Or the tools. Like, you know, like, I can't. Like,
right.
I'm going to have to turn this down, you know? I'm going to make a fool of myself on screen.
Right.
And that's essentially what happened with Jared Leto and the Joker. Like, it was bad.
But again, if you cut his part out, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't make a difference.
Not one iota.
And what's that say? Here's my... He's, like, complaining, like, oh, they cut so much of my part out.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, here. You do the math on this. You're in a movie, and you play the Joker, and the movie is about Batman villains. The studio famously wants to make the movie better, and so they decide to cut more of your part out. The Joker. So you do the math on what your performance was like. Studio's like, we gotta make this Batman villain movie better. Cut some of that Joker out. What's that tell you, Leto? Not very good.
You got a paycheck for it, though.
Did it? Yeah, you got a paycheck.
You got a paycheck, and it's made money.
It has made money, yeah. So did Air Bud.
I will also contend.
People are morons. You know, you go to Rotten Tomatoes, look at the audience score. It's like a 73.
Yeah.
You know, the top critic score is like an 18. The critic score is like a 25 or something like that. Audience score is 73. Basically, every movie, the audience score is 73 because audiences are morons. You know, I mean, half the people that are voting on Rotten Tomatoes are 13-year-olds, and they're voting over and over and over again. You know.
Yeah, it's true. But I'm just. There's so many confusing things that this movie just tried to pass off as, well, that's just because it is what it is. And, well, here's a flashback, like you were mentioning, from 45 minutes ago or that sort of thing. You know, for example, they're showing Harley Quinn. They're showing her origin. Did she get zapped with the electrodes in her brain, or did she go into a vat? You know, just put both of them. Put both of them in there. She fell into a vat of chemicals. And he, well, okay, I guess he's jumping in too. I guess there's no effect on you once you've already been affected by chemicals. It's fine.
Right.
And then...
This is a very predictable chemical, by the way.
And then we're going, like, of course,
you
right?
Just dump somebody in it and they turn out exactly like you.
Yeah.
I need this for my wife.
Then number two, we've got this team of supervillains that have extraordinary skills. At least that's what we're led to believe. These are the most...
keep being told that.
The most dangerous people that have ever been assembled are here to save the world from the Independence Day light from 1996 when it destroys the Empire State Building, because we're just going to go with that. So then this whole backstory with the Enchantress and the leader of SEAL Team 6, because he's still in love with her. And by the way, like, go get laid somewhere else, buddy. Like,
that whole love story is just so crammed.
And that guy's got a really punchable face. Like, he's got, like, one of those, like...
Not,
like,
enough people are talking about how terrible Joel Kinnaman was in this movie.
Is that who that was?
The guy from House of Cards.
Yes, okay. Yeah. All right.
Not enough people are talking about how absolutely horrid he was in this movie. Like, again, a guy who is out of his depth. I'm sorry. I'm sure he's fine on The Killing... or in something else. But when this guy is opposite Will Smith, or this guy is opposite Kevin Spacey, as he was on House of Cards, out of his depth. I think he's like Swedish or something like that, too. So maybe that's got something to do with it. Those Swedes, they can't stand against our American
guys. So then you got this fucking group that's here to save the world, destroy the Enchantress, and how do they do it? They do it with a bomb.
Yeah.
And then they do it with a knife.
Yeah, a knife.
Yeah, good job. And then you also brought up and a bat.
Yeah.
You have my bat. You have my bomb. You have my knife.
And my boomerang.
My boomerang that will never come back.
Yeah, the movie is actually so confusing that it makes very, very little sense, actually. I mean, that's, I'm going to boil down, why did you not like this movie, Chris, in a few sentences or less? Well, the plot makes no sense. And they spend so little time introducing some characters and so much time introducing other characters and yet telling us so very little about them. So that we actually care about absolutely no one in the movie. So we don't care about what they're doing and we don't understand what they're doing. What is the Enchantress doing? What is she doing? Who is this guy that's with her? What is this thing she's building in the sky?
Yeah.
Like, she's, like, whipping around with her hands like some, like, air cauldron.
So she can...
What's happening?
So she can travel halfway across the world to get Iranian documents in regards to their nuclear program, but you know what? You're going to have to give me 50 minutes. I've got a spell a-brewing. Now it's ready. The fucking oven clock just went ping!
Yeah. The first half of the movie is introduction of characters. Second half of the movie is her, like, brewing this, like, this cauldron of trash in the sky. Like, and them, like, sort of vaguely heading towards it, occasionally stopping to bitch and complain to each other. It makes almost no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, to talk with her brother Diablo, or from Diablo 2 or 3, whichever.
Another
the
character getting no introduction whatsoever. We completely don't understand why he's there, where he came from, who he is, what's going on.
What's his name?
Yeah. We have no idea. He's sort of made from some random citizen.
I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care.
Like,
the movie gets an hour and a half in, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on, and I don't care. I don't care anymore. You've spent too much time here.
Yeah.
And it's insulting to see a movie like that. It's insulting to sit there and be like, wow, they're really not even trying here. They thought they could just put enough cool stuff. And by the way, this is a team of bad guys. Did anybody do anything bad the whole movie? Did anyone seem like a villain? At all. Here's an idea. Toss a scene in there where they're all talking shit about Batman and shit they did to him.
Yeah.
Did that ever happen?
No.
Not, Batman comes up in one character's storyline, barely, and even he doesn't seem to dislike him all that much.
And if you cut his part out, you could have figured out another way. You know what?
Completely.
How about making the Joker the bad guy? That would make more sense.
Because anything would make more sense.
Well, as opposed to, you know, having this, you know, continual flash back and forth about the Enchantress and her brother, whatever his name is, and all this other stuff that's just so convoluted.
Right.
You would think that you guys have rewritten this like two or three times now. Like, you have the story. Just make it tangible. Make it coherent.
Right. And they keep calling them metahumans. Who's a metahuman?
Yeah.
Enchantress is. And the guy that can throw fire is Diablo or whatever,
yeah.
who refuses to do so.
Is Captain Boomerang a...
4/5 of the movie.
Metahuman?
That's what I'm asking. Is that a metahuman? Is he a metahuman because he has a boomerang? I guess I can go be a metahuman tomorrow. By like 11 a.m. I'll be a metahuman. You know? One trip to Walmart. Walk into Walmart a human, walk out a metahuman. Captain Boomerang, Harley Quinn, like literally just like crazy chick that fell into some chemicals.
And got shocked. And got shocked in the brain.
Yeah. Got shocked. Okay, fine. Got shocked.
No, but that's what I'm saying is that, well, which one is it?
Which is it? Exactly. Yeah, she was crazy because she fell for the Joker, and then she got shocked, and then he shoved her in the chemicals. What's going on?
While he's showing his teeth. Showing her like dish.
That's what he did. He showed his teeth the whole time. He's like, I got these teeth. Gotta show them. Here's how you know the Joker was a failure. Was he scary?
No.
Was he funny?
No.
Okay.
He really wasn't.
Yeah. What's the Joker supposed to be? Define him in two words.
Funny and scary as shit.
Okay, then.
It's
sounds like a failure to me. And guess what? We're going to get him for, I don't know. Four, five, six more movies?
12 more?
Yeah, we'll see him in a lot more movies. I hope they fucking fire him, honestly. And he was not the only problem with Suicide Squad at all.
Anything that you liked?
I liked Harley Quinn. I liked Margot Robbie. I'm pretty sure it's Robbie, but whatever. I liked her. I liked, you know, chick in the pigtails and panties.
But even she can't save it. You know, like,
no.
Okay, and this is the other thing that People have
Clint Eastwood's son.
People have mentioned to me. I saw that. You know
what? Think Eastwood watched this movie? I just like to imagine his face sitting through this movie. What the Christ am I watching?
I read the article about Clint Eastwood talking about Donald Trump and the pussification of this generation because right. They can't take a joke.
2 days later,
then he watches this and he's like, "God damn it!
What the hell's my son doing like a pansy in the background?
God damn it! The hell?
Who's the chick in the panties?"
People kept saying, but you've got Margot Robbie. You've got the hot chick from Wolf of Wall Street, so it's got to be redeeming, right? No, it is not. You know, if I want to watch a hot chick, the internet has millions that I have at my fingertips to watch whatever.
Yeah,
and
the
I'm not
aforementioned Gianna Michaels.
That will soon be joined by Chris Whitten at some future project. Yeah. But, I mean, she's hot, but
that can't save it. No. It's just a combination of a lot of things with this movie. It's a bad plot. Sounds like it was a bad script. And it was bad production. You got some bad performances. You got some bad music cues. You got some just bad storytelling techniques in general. And you do have some, you know, you do have a couple moments in there that are funny. You do have a couple of actresses who I like and actors who I like. That's not enough. Like,
yeah.
It's like the old saying goes, you know, I mean, there's a million ways to make a good script into a bad movie. There's no way to make a bad script into a good movie. You can't do it. I think it was just a bad script.
Yeah.
And the fucking music cues. Like, oh my god. I mean, it's like, okay, we got a bunch of villains and they're hired for a job. What song are we gonna get? How about Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap?
You are getting a raise.
Thank you. I'm out for the day.
I'm going on break. Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy, take note, because that was pretty... It's like, I'm just going to play everything off my Spotify account.
Yeah, and people are like, okay, so what's the difference between this and Guardians of the Galaxy? It's all those things I just talked about.
Yeah.
There's nothing, and it's everything.
Yeah.
It's nothing in terms of what they're trying to do. What's the difference? Nothing at all. Zero. It's the exact same attempt. It's exactly like the Olympics, which are going on right now.
Yeah.
You can have two people try and attempt a high dive. They can both attempt the exact same high dive. One can be a 10, the other can be a 0. Now, Suicide Squad is not a 0.
No.
It's a weak 6. Like, and I'm being generous, because it's a poor country.
Okay, what did I give Ghostbusters? 2.5? Would you rather watch this?
I'm talking about a 10.
Right, right. Would you rather watch this? Bigger scale up. Would you rather watch this again or Ghostbusters?
Can't I, like, take a hammer and a nail to my testicles or something?
I ask the tough questions on The Real Thing on morelikeradio.com.
God, I guess I'd rather watch
this. Really?
I guess. I mean, it would be a push. Like, it's not like I'm like...
It's a hell of a push.
I'm not answering you like, oh, Suicide Squad, hell yeah. I think it would probably be Suicide Squad. Again, like, this is where what our friend Adam Forlaw said comes in handy. Like, oh, Margot Robbie, she doesn't save it? Well, she does in this case. Like, if I got to choose between this and something else, like, okay, fine, I'll watch Margot Robbie walk around in her panties for 2 hours, you know what I mean? And Will Smith be sort of funny, and Viola Davis be sort of, you know, creepy and intense CIA person.
Yeah.
And like I said, there's a couple funny moments. Just like Ghostbusters, you know, there's 4 or 5 moments where I chuckled. Not enough. Again, back to Guardians of the Galaxy. Attempting to do the same thing, except with a better script. Better storytelling, you know, ideas, better storytelling effort, better performances, better music cues. They weren't so fucking on the nose, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, hey, and those 5 times that you laughed during the movie, not a one, courtesy of Jared Leto.
No.
Not one.
You know why? Not funny. Not scary.
Yeah.
And therefore not the Joker.
However, you had an opportunity to see a newer movie that just came out this past weekend.
It came out this weekend.
This weekend?
Yeah, well, it's Sunday. It came out Friday. Yeah.
Friday? Pete's Dragon.
Yeah, I saw Pete's Dragon. Took the kids.
And a live-action one.
It'd be kind of creepy if I didn't.
It would be very creepy. Where are you going? Drive up in your white van. It's free free Pokemon Go on the side. But this is a live-action remake with...
live-action remake...
Carl Urban.
Yeah, Carl Urban, Bryce Dallas Howard, Robert Redford, Wes Bentley. Those are kind of the big name.
Oh, shit. Wes Bentley.
Wes Bentley making an appearance. Looks exactly the same. A little gray in his beard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he was on the last season of American Horror Story.
True. Also in, I think, one of the, maybe the first Hunger Games movie?
Yeah. I thought that he was probably going to get more work right after American Beauty, and then anyway, he dropped off the face of New York. Now he's back.
Everyone did. And we thought that he was going to be, like, he would be the perfect, like, Anakin Skywalker, you know? Like,
yeah,
there was a lot of talk about that at the time. Fell off the face of New York. This movie is a remake of the old 70s Pete's Dragon, which is sort of a, you know, musical. But this completely takes it in a totally different direction. It's sort of a quiet drama, family drama. Very quiet, understated kind of movie. I actually enjoyed it very much. It's sort of a throwback to, like, the old live-action Disney movies of our childhood, like Pollyanna and things like that. That's kind of what it reminded me of.
Okay.
I didn't make a lot of money this weekend. I don't know if a lot of kids are going to go nuts over it. My kids liked it. It was very sweet and very cute. It's a different take. You know, the only thing that it has in common with the original is the title, obviously, and it's sort of about a kid who has a dragon that he has a dragon. They even change, you know, in the original, it was like he could see him and nobody else could and all this kind of stuff. And it's not the case in this movie. Like, other people see the dragon, like, essentially from the beginning of the movie and actually before the movie takes place. Many people have seen the dragon. There's sort of a legend about it in these woods and stuff like that. No lighthouse. As a matter of fact, I think it takes place on the other coast. It sort of takes place in the Pacific Northwest. And
okay.
Yeah, good movie. I mean, good family movie. I wouldn't recommend everybody go out and see it. It's not, you know, if you go see it with your girlfriend this weekend, you're going to be like, Chris is a fucking moron. It's not that good. But if you got to take your kids to a movie, you could do worse.
Do they have the song that you've mentioned? Like, hey, they
No Passamaquoddy.
No Passamaquoddy song.
No songs whatsoever. It's not that kind of movie at all. No.
Huh.
Very sort of quiet family drama, like you do not see a lot of these days. Probably has more in common with something like Where the Wild Things Are or something like that. Jones, kind of that tone to
yeah.
it. Like, four kids, technically, but I don't think a lot of kids are going to enjoy it as much as their parents sort of will.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Robert Redford's in it. Mm-hmm, he's fine.
He's fine?
Yeah, he's fine. Carl Urban is in it. Carl Urban actually sort of plays kind of a light villain.
Okay.
You know, not a full-on villain, but has some sort of villain tones. And it's good. Like I said, if you got to take your kids to a movie, I'm not recommending that everyone drop what they're doing and go buy a ticket for this movie right now, you know. But if you have to take your kids to a movie, you could do worse. It's very sweet, wholesome family drama. Not a cynical movie. Not a bunch of, like, you know, dogs licking their butt and fart humor, you know, which you see in a lot of kids' movies, like Secret Life of Pets and stuff like that, you know. It's not like that. It's a sweet story about a kid who needs a family and happens to have a dragon, you know? Like, it's fine.
All right. Well, there you go, as far as Pete's Dragon is concerned. I did want to talk. I know that you had seen a couple trailers that just came out recently, or if you haven't, then I was going to wanted to get your opinion on what you would think. These trailers are on The Real Thing on morelikeradio.com. Have you seen the new trailer for Paul Schrader's Dog Eat Dog?
Oh, yeah.
With Nicolas Cage and Willem Dafoe?
Yeah, aforementioned Willem Dafoe. Yeah.
And a
cameo from Schrader himself.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's in there, and apparently this is the latest movie that he's directed. It premiered over at Cannes earlier this year, to my understanding.
Yep.
And apparently it's a story of criminals that are still going at it after many, many years. Yeah. One gets out of jail, something to that effect.
Yeah, it's a crime story written by Eddie Bunker. You know who Eddie Bunker is?
No.
Mr. Blue from Reservoir Dogs?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. How many dicks is that?
A lot. Guy.
Old guy with the mustache. I literally think that "how many dicks is that" is the only line that he has in that movie, or one of, like, maybe two lines that he has in
I think he talks about tipping after Mr. Orange starts.
Does he?
Yeah, Mr.
That's
Pinker.
Eddie Bunker.
Okay.
He's a guy who was a career criminal, went to jail, and then became a writer and sometimes actor.
Oh, shit.
He wrote Dog Eat Dog.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I think it looks cool.
Yeah.
I want to see it. Yeah, big time.
Apparently,
I love Schrader. I love Nicolas Cage. I love Willem Dafoe. Like, I'm in.
Yeah, and I don't know. Did you ever see The Canyons?
Mm-mm. No. I've seen a lot of Paul Schrader movies, but I never saw The Canyons.
Okay. But the one, Canyons being the one with Lindsay Lohan with James Dean,
James Dean,
porn star guy.
Yeah. You lost me at James Dean and Lindsay Lohan. Like, I just wasn't that into it. Although I think we know a couple people that saw it. Like, I feel like Natalie Ballard saw it and said she thought it was good, but I don't know.
Not even ironically?
No, I think I seem to remember her saying it wasn't bad or something along those lines. Or
that's maybe, terrible.
Maybe it was Dave. I don't know.
That's terrible when they're like, it wasn't bad. That, yeah. Put that on your Blu-ray case.
Schrader's weird, you know? Like, Schrader's been hit and miss throughout the years.
Yeah.
He's made a couple movies with Willem Dafoe, first off. Like, they've got a pretty good working relationship. Of course, he wrote Taxi Driver. Everybody knows that.
Did he do Autofocus with Greg Kinnear? He did
Autofocus with Greg Kinnear and Willem Dafoe.
Right.
Did a good movie called Light Sleeper with Willem Dafoe back in the day. Did a great movie called Hardcore with George C. Scott back in the day.
Yeah, like 1979.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And it was essentially the movie 8mm with Nicolas Cage long before that movie was made. It's about a guy who loses his daughter to the porn world out in L.A.
Yeah.
Takes a trip out to L.A. to find her and gets like caught up in this whole seedy world of, you know, porno and potentially snuff films and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's the exact same movie.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Except for it's the dad looking for the girl, not some private detective.
Right.
And it's a really good movie. He's made a lot of good movies throughout the years. A lot of good scripts. But he can be a little bit hit and miss. Oh, Affliction, too, by the way. Nick Nolte pulling his tooth out.
Scientist.
James Coburn. I was hanging out with scientists.
Oh, my God. James Coburn and...
Coburn and Nick Nolte playing brothers. I think Willem Dafoe was in that, too.
Jesus. It's like an old man grunting contest.
Seriously. It was, too. That's the one that Coburn kind of famously won the Academy Award for, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, 7 minutes before he died or something. You know?
Right. Next trailer that I saw, I'm pretty sure that you saw as well, the teaser trailer, like a minute and change for Dunkirk. The new Chris Nolan World War II.
I had a funny experience with the Dunkirk preview. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it was on Suicide Squad.
Okay.
And so I saw Suicide Squad in a full theater. Bunch of previews, mostly comic book shit. And, you know, like, and then the Dunkirk. So there's a bunch of, like, people in there that are into comic book movies. It's opening weekend. You know,
they're
not exactly into, you know, like, World War II movies and stuff like that.
Right,
or whatever. World War I, World War II, whatever it is. And, you know, it's got the scene at the end where the guys are sort of, like, cowering down in that boat or whatever.
Yeah.
As the plane goes overhead, it's really loud.
Yeah.
And then just cuts off. The sound cuts off. This little boy right in front of me goes, "Daddy, what happened?" The whole theater, like, erupted in laughter. It's like Chris Nolan. If only he could have been here to see this moment or hear this moment in this movie theater, he probably would have cried. I thought the preview looked really good, though. Like,
yeah, it builds tension for sure.
You had me at Chris Nolan.
Yeah. Yeah, he hasn't made a bad movie yet.
Is there anything he could make or announce that you'd be like, meh, not interested? You know, especially if you know that it's got Tom Hardy and it's, you know, basically an action movie or war movie or something like that.
If he's directing, no. If he's producing, yes.
Oh, sure. No, I'm talking directing.
Directing?
I'm talking writing, directing. Yeah. You see Interstellar?
Yeah.
You like it?
It was okay until the last fifth of the movie.
Agree.
So many feelings. You know, it's fine. I get, like, and then the whole...
I would go a little further. I mean, I would say it was okay until the last tenth. Like, I didn't like the last 15 minutes, literally. You know?
Yeah.
Everything up until there. I was totally into it.
I thought it was a good sci-fi movie. I thought that the twist was almost a little kind of from Lost...
The, like, twist that he could sort of
like
mess with time and
all
that.
Yeah,
that's where it lost me, like, right there.
All right, trying to write your way out of this. I get it. Like, you
exactly.
So what?
That's exactly what happened. He was, you know, he wrote a really great script, really cool movie up until there, and I'm like, I should have stopped. Should have gone.
But he's got a fucking walking robot that's awesome, by the way. So I was like, that's really cool. And then they're stuck on this planet for 7 minutes. It turns into 7 years or some bullshit.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So Tom Hardy. Yep. Cillian Murphy, Harry Styles will star in the film, scheduled to be released July of 2017. Your final one, and I saw it today, actually. Rogue One.
Oh, you just saw it today?
Yeah.
God, I'm such a nerd. I heard it was online, and I was like, oh, I gotta get to a computer! Like, rushed off to one at work. Yeah. Looks really good, right?
It's, you know...
The big reveal is at the end. Like,
oh,
the
of course.
First, you know, like, 99% of the trailer is more of the rehashed stuff you've seen from other trailers. The big reveal is, you know...
Of course. Right.
Pretty badass.
I commend once again that the people that are making these trailers are doing an excellent job, giving you just enough to be all like, yeah, the man, that looks cool. Like, what was that? Shit, I'm going to have to be there December 2016, ticket in hand.
But you got to worry about Plano, Texas with this movie.
Oh, that's right, because, like, we've heard with Suicide Squad after Batman vs. Superman, and then there was the reshoots that Gareth Edwards was doing because the tone was too dark, it was too gritty. You can actually see it.
It looks gritty. It looks awesome.
It looks really awesome.
Guess what people responded to the first trailer and this new trailer? Guess what part about it they liked? The grittiness.
Yeah.
The darkness.
Yeah.
That's what looks awesome about it.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with it. You go out and you hire these, you know, artists, these directors who are sort of visionaries and auteurs, and then, you know, man, I get it. You have money at stake. Don't hire Gareth Edwards then.
Yeah.
Don't hire, you know, David Ayer. Don't hire these guys that you know what they're bringing. Like, what about David Ayer said light and funny to you? You know, like, did you see Training Day? Did you see Harsh Times?
What did you expect?
Did you see End of Watch?
Yeah.
Like, what are you thinking? I mean, did you see Godzilla? Do you think that Gareth Edwards makes, like, these sort of light fluff? Does he make Jar Jar Binks movies?
Yeah.
Like, no. You got to leave these guys alone, like, or don't give them Star Wars projects. Let them do something else.
Sure, sure. But this is the movie that will be basically taking a side story and, you know, creating something original rather than, you know, basing it off a previous story. I mean, that's my guess because I don't know Star Wars at all.
So. No, it's a side story. It's basically from the first movie, that, you know, A New Hope, where they blow up the Death Star. Just prior to that in the movie, the woman says many Bothans died to get us these plans, blah, blah, blah. And this is the story of that, essentially, heist. It was a great idea to make a movie out of that, and it looks like they've pulled it off. I do think Disney is probably smarter than DC or Warner Brothers when it comes to this, though. Like, Disney has been really smart. A lot of the comic book movies and Pete's Dragon and Jungle Book, they get guys who are artists to make these movies. They get guys who are, you know, sort of independent filmmakers, and they've been smart up to this point. So maybe the reshoots are just things that happen it's kind of what Mads Mikkelsen said in response to it when he was asked about it. He said, you know, this happens on almost every movie I've ever made. Like, we do reshoots, you know, it's not a big deal. Everybody needs to freak out. So hopefully that's the case, because this trailer looks badass.
It looks really, really good. And the Darth Vader and the
music, everything.
Jedi ninjas. Fuck.
How is it that this feels more like a Star Wars movie than Force Awakens? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It feels like this is a little bit more for the older crowd, whereas Force Awakens is kind of...
like your introductory...
yeah, for the teens and stuff, you know? No, it looks awesome. Yeah. I'm totally into it, yeah. Now, I'll be there opening day.
Now,
in a Yoda costume.
In a Yoda costume, because you're a huge nerd.
Actually, I will be in a Yoda costume. I'll make my wife dress up as... Luke. I'll be, like, perched on her back.
Oh. please do that for Halloween this year. Yeah, there you go. Now, I wanted to give credit where credit is due, Chris. Mm. We have to do this on the real thing on morelikeradio.com, is that you have correctly predicted something that has now been news, that due to the likely $70 million plus loss that Ghostbusters, the reboot... has suffered over this last several years since its release in mid-July, that we are no longer going to have a sequel. It is no longer going to happen. Apparently, they're going to divert whatever energies that... Ghost Core! Remember Ghost Core? Yeah. It's still here, baby! Yeah. But they're going to do an animated movie instead, and they're going to, you know, do a television show, I guess.
Sure, they are.
So
yeah, they're saying that now, but I doubt that they're even going to do those things.
You want to double down?
Yeah. I doubt that we'll even see those things. Nobody wants to see that shit.
Yeah, but...
hey, look, you didn't make a shitty movie, but you didn't make a good movie either.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you had to hit it, you know, you had to make Bridesmaids. You had to make something that hit it out of the park. You didn't. Not a big deal. So it was okay. It was a 6 or whatever we said back then, but it wasn't, you know...
It has not opened in a few markets, including France, Japan, and Mexico, but it will have trouble getting to $225 million.
I don't think the Mexicans are just, you know, thinking like, it would I can't wait to see Ghostbusters.
I can't wait to see Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, or the French, you know, like, yeah. they're sitting out on a patio somewhere listening to accordion music, smoking a cigarette and a beret, like just waiting for Ghostbusters to start. You know, I don't think so.
I liked Kristen Wiig in Bridesmaids.
Kristen Wiig.
I don't even know if that's a correct French accent.
The one Ghostbuster, she maybe eat too much, huh? Maybe do a little more Ghostbusting.
I turned Mexican again there.
God. So yeah, that's not going to happen. So
I think McCarthy's funny, but
kudos to you for being right.
Yeah, you know, it only happens literally every day, all day.
Shit happens, but to balance it out, because everything is awful and we will never learn from our past
worst
mistakes.
Lego song ever.
Everything is awful. Not awful.
Talk about good movies that need sequels.
It's just, well, okay. How about one? David Fincher is apparently being courted by Brad Pitt to do the World War Z trailer.
I heard that. Pitt's courting him for it, but I have a hard time imagining that...
That wouldn't happen,
David
right?
David Fincher would actually do that, right?
He wouldn't do that.
I don't think so. But then, you know, a couple years ago, like, Frank Darabont was going to make the Snow White and the Huntsman sequel.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, Frank Darabont, like, he makes his own projects, and he makes things that, you know, like... Well, Shawshank Redemption and Green Mile and stuff like that.
Should have kicked off Walking Dead, though.
Kicked off Walking Dead, yeah. Because he was such a, you know, sort of singular filmmaker and visionary, like, it's hard for me to believe that he would want to. And then he ended up, like, leaving the Snow White and the Huntsman project. I don't know. Like, Fincher, I would love to see Fincher make a zombie movie or a horror movie, another horror movie, because he made Alien 3.
This one, though?
Not this one. I mean, I thought...
A sequel, if that.
A sequel to a sort of okay movie. Like, I'm not someone who hated World War Z. I never read the graphic novel.
Neither did I.
And therefore, I saw this movie just by itself, and therefore, thought it was fine. Like, I thought it was pretty standard zombie movie. Kind of liked it. Kind of had some creepy stuff in it.
Yeah.
Never saw it again. Never cared if I saw it again.
Yeah.
But I don't want Fincher making a sequel to it. Fincher's like one of the best filmmakers we have. Surely he can find something better to do with his time.
He can find something better, and don't call me Shirley. How about this? Warner Brothers is moving forward with an all-female spinoff of Ocean's 11, this time dubbed Ocean's Ocho. And they've been going on and on about how Sandra Bullock and Cate Blanchett and Rihanna and a bunch of other people are going to be joining this cast. Ocean's Ocho.
Yeah, but who's going to drive? I think it was Royce that had the best line about this, which is Ocean's 8 instead of Ocean's 11. Uh-huh. Even in film, they get 30% less.
Listen, I no comment. We'll also be starring Anne Hathaway, Helena Bonham Carter, Mindy Kaling. Okay.
This is... File this under make your goddamn movie about women heisting something and call it something else. Now, I realize that the George Clooney Ocean's 11 movie was a reboot.
Yeah.
But it was only 10 years ago, or whatever it was. So, do we really need to reboot it again that soon? I mean, these things are happening at, like, an exponential rate. Like, you had the Sinatra one, and then you got, you know, 40 years later, you get the Clooney one. Now it's, like, 15 years later, we get this one.
And then a day later, you're going to get another
one. Next year, we're going to get one with all the guys from One Direction. You know, Harry Styles and, you know.
Right.
All the other Styles guys, whoever the fuck else. Harry Styles. Sounds like if there was a movie about Bigfoot being a cool teenager, his name would be Harry Styles.
Is there any Spanish people? Is Rihanna? No, she's not Spanish. She's Jamaican. I thought she was. I don't know, but there's no fucking Spanish people in Ocean's Ocho, really?
You guys will get one in this movie before it's all said and done.
God damn it. You know, someone pay me. Pay me to sit in your boardroom and be the voice of reason for...
Oh, I thought you were going to say pay you to be in this movie. We put, like, lipstick on you.
You might as well. Then you can say, well, we use the word Ocho, but we do have Spanish people in the movie, so it's okay.
Was there a Spanish person in the Clooney one?
No.
Why couldn't they get Guzman in there? Guzman would have been perfect in those movies. Could have cut out somebody and put Luis Guzman in there.
John Leguizamo.
Yeah, or Leguizamo. I'm fine with that.
Or fucking Michael...
Or partial to Guzman.
Michael Peña.
Who?
Michael Peña. He's in End of Watch with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
He's also an Ant-Man. He's really funny in Ant-Man.
He was funny in Ant-Man. Yes, he was. Yes. I was thinking of Adam Beach, who's a completely different ethnicity. Slipknot. The man who can climb anything.
The man who can climb.
Laziest comic book character ever.
And he's gone.
And never mind.
because...
Let's hope he can climb out of his coffin, because somebody just killed him.
God.
Yeah, this... I don't care. Look, again, just make it. I don't care. Make a good movie and call it something else. Stop making remakes. I sort of feel that way with Pete's Dragon that I saw, but I don't know. I don't know what else you're going to do with that. I mean, I guess you call it the Boy with the Dragon or whatever, but...
Well, but that... at least they're trying to, you know, they're just...
They did go in a completely different direction.
Yeah. Yeah. According to what you're saying, it's not the same thing.
Kid's name is Pete. The dragon's name is Elliot. Other than that...
Nothing?
Nothing. Nothing really else? Not very much at all.
Okay.
No Candle on the Water song, no Passamaquoddy, no I Thought I Saw a Dragon song. A little pissed about that. But, you know, I've always got the original.
Yeah, it's true.
I literally own it.
Well, as we wrap up on The Real Thing on MoreLikeRadio.com, I have to give final condolences because the Bums have won. Finally, Chris. David Huddleston, who played the Big Lebowski in the movie The Big Lebowski, died last week at age 85. He also had roles in Blazing Saddles and The Producers.
Yeah, really sad. But hard not to imagine John Goodman lifting up his corpse and throwing it around. This fucker can walk. I've never been more sure of anything. I know, sad. Yeah, I know. Well, you know what? Lebowski and Brandt, both dead now, when you watch those scenes. Tara Reid will follow in a couple days, I'm sure.
Oh, you would have thought that she would have died first, given her history.
I would have put money on it.
Yeah?
I would have put money.
You would have lost money.
I would have.
Before he was cast as the Big Lebowski, he guest starred on several TV shows, including Walker, Texas Ranger, Murder, She Wrote, Gilmore Girls, and The West Wing.
Walker, Texas Ranger.
And had a reoccurring role as the grandfather on The Wonder Years.
If I was an actor, I'd be like, don't lead with Walker, Texas Ranger. Like, put that at the end. If they want more credits, you can mention it, but don't lead with that.
He was also in the
don't
title...
Don't tell me Jag.
No. His film credits include the title role in 1985's Santa Claus the Movie. Remember Santa Claus the Movie?
Was that him?
That was
Dustin
him.
Dustin Hoffman and Lithgow?
Capricorn 1 was another movie he was in.
Capricorn 1.
Along with Blazing Saddles and The Producers.
Nice. Yeah, he will be missed.
And fond we are of all of him.
No!
As it goes off that greener pastures.
I'm just going to go find a cash machine. Not bad. Old man said I could take any rug in the house. You're a Lebowski. I'm a Lebowski.
How ironic would it be that his house just got broken into and someone steals his rug?
You think the carpet deserved it?
Well, dude, we just don't know. I think the only other original story that I heard within the last couple weeks is that have you seen Orlando Bloom's dick?
Oh yeah. Only in my dreams.
Apparently, no,
he was rowing with it.
He was rowing with something that appeared to be a wooden raft.
I thought it was pointier than my dick. You know what I mean?
Seemed
pointy to me.
You got to remove the box off of his dick, and then you'll be so.
God, I'm sure he has to remove a lot of boxes off his dick, actually.
But yeah, they had a whole bunch of pictures with him hanging out.
How is Bloom still getting tail? When was the last time Bloom made anything,
dude,
that anybody gave a shit about?
He's
effing Katy Perry?
Yeah, and he had been dating, or actually he was married to that Victoria's Secret model.
He should be into, like, Tara Reid poontang by now. Like, he should be into, like, D-Class. Like, he's still with chicks like Katy Perry?
Yeah.
What does Katy Perry see in Orlando Bloom?
His dick.
God. His dick wasn't that big.
Big enough.
Yeah, it's big enough. I mean, geez, you know.
But he's naked and she's not. That
part was weird.
That's the travesty.
Like, I'm fine with both of you being naked. And I feel like oftentimes we see the chick naked and the guy is not.
Yeah.
It's weird to see the guy naked. I don't want to sound sexist, but put your dick away.
No, that's fine. I mean,
I don't know where he's gonna put it. And he's like, there's no bathing suit like on the back of that thing. Like he like was on shore. Like now, F it. I'm taking it off.
Plus, he's also wearing a hat, and I feel like you know, just take the hat off. It just looks like you're a dad on vacation at a nudist colony with your kids.
He did not look like a dad.
He did not look like he was about to be a father.
And there, we all saw the one shot of him sort of on his knees on the back of it, but there was also shots of him on the beach walking around on one leg, the thing's flopping all over the place.
Yeah, there's another shot of him when he's actually paddling on the paddleboard with Katy Perry sitting Indian style in front of him, and it almost looks like she's leaning forward so she doesn't get, like, hit in the back with his dick.
Right, with his firework. Now we know what that song is. Oh my God. Yeah, pictures were everywhere. It's so funny because there's all this serious stuff happening in the world and stuff like that, and, you know, politics and the Olympics and all this kind of stuff, and then you open up the internet, story number one, Orlando Bloom's dick! You know, Orlando Bloom? Like, look, I felt like he was a has-been when Elizabethtown came out, and that had to have been 10 years ago.
Right, right.
Jesus. Oh,
Elizabethtown with Kirsten Dunst. Holy yeah, shit.
I remember when they made Elizabethtown, and I was like, really? Legolas? Okay, yeah. Whatever. I thought we were done with him. And that was 10 years ago. Katy Perry's still blowing him. Jesus.
Third Legolas. So.
Third Legolas. That's awesome. It wasn't that big.
Yeah, it wasn't that big.
I've seen bigger. I mean, I have bigger.
Paging, what's her name? Gianna Michaels?
Yeah.
There you go.
Not that big.
Not that big?
Okay. Gianna, go back home.
But in the meantime, follow us on Twitter at TheRealThingMLR. You can also follow Chris Wetten at WetTweet, WHETTWEET, and myself, Mark_Nixon_. Chris Wetten, it's always a pleasure.
It was fun.
Hopefully it will be more fun when we see another movie that doesn't bore us to tears like Suicide Squad, but it seems like Pete's Dragon.
We're getting into that post-summer lull.
Ooh, yeah.
And post-summer lull is not as bad as, late winter, early spring lull is. Used to be as bad, now it's not as bad, but geez, summer was so bad, I feel like the fall's going to be boring too. But
yeah.
We'll see.
So, we thank you for your patronage. We will leave you with a better Joker, the better man, the better Joker man.
Best man, better man.
The Joker by Steve Miller Band, to clean the taste out of our mouths. And so, we thank you. We will talk to you next time. Thank you. Because I speak of the pompousness of love. People talk about me, baby. Say I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong. Well, don't you worry, baby, don't worry, 'cause I'm right here, right here, right here, right here at home. 'Cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I get my loving on the run. Smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I should